Today on The Grave Talks, how to talk with the dead. Conversation with Beth O'Brien. From the age of 4, Beth O'Brien has been seeing and communicating with the paranormal. Although her family dismissed these encounters, Beth knew that she was different. Eventually, she'd grow to learn that no matter where she went, the spirits would follow. This would eventually lead her on a path to understanding her own psychic abilities and how she can help others through her senses. We hear her story today on The Grave Talks.
At about age, I was about 4 years old, and I remember telling my mom that I saw my great-grandfather laying on the couch, and I described him, what he was wearing, his color of his hair. And then my mom said, she said, "That's impossible. You've never met him. He died before you were born." And I said, "Well, why is he laying on the couch?" You know, so that was my first experience of the paranormal. And then, you know, back then at my age, I'm now 55. So back then you didn't talk about anything like that. Growing up Catholic, you didn't talk about spirits or the dead. So it was kind of like, you know, poo-pooed under the carpet. So as a child, I became afraid of it because no one could explain to me what it was or why I was seeing these things. Then at about age 11, I grew up in Tabernacle, you know, in New Jersey, Tabernacle, New Jersey, with, you know, the Jersey Devil. And there's a lot of Native American burial grounds there. And I was always like frightened to like go outside at nighttime, you know, because the woods out there, the Pine Barrens, have some stories. And I remember laying on the couch. Once again, I was watching TV. I was a young child, and the back door handle would keep jiggling and jiggling, which, you know, really scared me. So I couldn't explain that, and nobody could explain anything to me about that. So I would always, at nighttime, when it was bedtime, I would always be afraid, like, of the dark. I'm afraid of the dark. Even though I can talk to the dead, I'm afraid of the dark. I always felt like somebody was in my rooms. I felt like there was people watching me. I would hide under the covers. And I had this one experience where I called my father in because at the edge of my bed, I saw a Native American girl standing at the edge of my bed. And I screamed for my dad, and he came running in, and he's like, "There's nothing in your room. There's nobody here." And I was like, "Yes, there is. Yes, there is." So I would always pull the covers over my head and just be afraid. Every night when I would go to bed, I could not fall asleep because I felt like there was something around me, but no one could explain it. You know, it was not a fun time as a child because I couldn't understand what was going on. So then through the years, I got married young at 21, had kids. And I just remember always being interested in the unknown or what was out there. I felt like I never fit into this earth somehow. Mm-hmm. And I would always be afraid to go past grave sites because, believe it or not, I wouldn't look at them because I thought something like I was going to die or something bad was going to happen to me. Because when I would look over to there, there would be like I would get a feeling, which now I hang out at cemeteries. So go figure that, right?
Sure.
And then, you know, as an adult, I knew there was something else out there, you know, and all these shows came on and it became more acceptable, you know, with, like I said, with the TV shows and stuff like that. So I found a mentor because growing up, I really didn't have, you know, much support from family or anything like that. I was, you know, made fun of. I didn't have any friends, all kinds of things that just didn't make sense to me. And then I found a mentor who said, you know, really helped me with my self-esteem and my confidence, because I have, growing up, my mom was not nice. She would say, "You never amount to anything," you know, all kinds of things, "Dumb, stupid," and as you believe it. So
sure.
Why would even that same person said, why would you have any gifts? You know, I don't know why, but I was told I do. I knew there was something. I knew I had something. I could just feel it, and I would feel very different. Mm-hmm. And then raised my kids, and through the years, I guess it was in my 30s, I found a mentor who helped me a lot and said, well, why aren't you doing this? And she's also a paranormal investigator. So she's like, why aren't you doing this? You could do this. You could help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. She was teaching psychic development classes just to bring out my self-esteem and my confidence. And then that's when I start to realize, yes, I really do see spirits and I do feel spirits, but I just thought that was normal because I felt it all the time, but I didn't know the difference or sure. Like why I was feeling that way.
Like as a child, when you're going through this, and for example, when you saw, is it your grandpa that was on the couch?
My great-grandfather, yes.
Your great-grandfather on the couch. And you know, your mom's not seeing this, but you're pointing this out. Are you realizing that you're seeing a ghost at that moment? I mean, everything is kind of new at that point in time. So it's always kind of a weird one to decipher, especially when the parental figure is like, nah, there's nothing there.
I thought it was a real person. I really thought I was seeing him. Red hair. I have red hair now. I have red hair, and he was laying there, his arms, and like I really thought he was there because I didn't know the difference. But like you were saying, I didn't know the difference between a ghost, a spirit. You know, I just thought it was a person.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and after that experience, did you, in childhood, even though you kind of got poo-pooed by your mom, did you continue to have those sort of experiences? Did you see other dead people?
Well, that was the first time. And then I, as far back as I can remember, and I don't know if maybe there was a blockage there. And then I remember moving when we moved. Away. Actually, before that, I should back up. Before we moved, now that you said that, before we moved to Tabernacle, I lived in Clementon, New Jersey. And the house that we were living in, I guess it was about 9, 8, 9. A man lived previously, shot himself in the house. Mm. So I would always feel like, and actually my sister saw a black mist crouching down. And I actually, as a child, got pushed down the basement steps, and I thought, wait, and my mom's like, oh, you just fell, but in the crawl space, there was something about that, I could not go in there, so that was that time I experienced something, and I'm like, well, I didn't fall, you know, again, you're lying, yes, you did, I'm like, okay, so, you know, I was like, well, I get, did I fall? Maybe. I did trip, but it felt like I got pushed. So that house was very evil. And then that was right before, that was about 8, 9 years old. And then when we moved, like I said, and then we moved to Tabernacle at the age of 11, and then other things just started happening.
And I want to get there, but I want to talk more about this house that you call evil. You said a man had shot himself in the house.
Correct. But we didn't find that out till after we moved out. Sure.
So after the fact, it was after the fact, you didn't know what was going on. So you felt like you got pushed. In your view, when you look back on this, and I'm curious as to what your thoughts are, when someone does something like this and they're driven to that extreme of depression where they end their own life and they shoot themselves, in that house, do you feel that it was the spirit of that man that took that action? Or is there something that opens up and it's just the negativity of it that ends up pulling other things in as well?
Actually, it could be both, because I know I, not to jump ahead, but I'm also a paranormal investigator. Yeah. And we do private homes and historical places, and as I know, doing the work that I do, 99.9% of the time, you create your own negative energy and your own negative entity.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I felt like something else did happen at that house, but I was a child. Like I said, in the crawl space was very strange to me. I could not, like, go downstairs. If you had to get clothes, the washer and dryer was down there, you know. So I believe something else possibly happened in the house besides that, the man that took his own life, you know. But again, I was a child and I, you know, not exactly sure what happened, but I could just feel negativity. I could just feel it, you know. And I think when we were there, my mom actually had health issues also. She had a couple seizures when she was there. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, exactly what was going on at the time, but later on in life, that's probably what happened. Some more activity was in the house that we don't know about.
Sure. It's interesting when you said 99% of the time you create your own negative energy and entities. Tell me more about what you mean by that.
Well, human spirits, because I'm a psychic medium, human spirits you have to coincide with. You can't make them leave. They have free will. You have to just, you know, like I said, coincide with them. So you just ask them not to bother you. You know, can I sleep? You know, because they'll come to me at nighttime. And I said, well, just let me sleep and I'll talk to you in the morning. Negative energies, I've had assisted in an exorcism also. It is real. And it has to do with a lot with what's going on in your life, the way you're living your life. Some people invite the negative stuff in and don't want to get rid of it, but negative stuff have to abide by rules, but you have to want it gone. And sometimes you're in so deeper that it's hard to get rid of. So sometimes you don't get rid of it, and then you just live your life like that. You always have that black cloud over you lingering, even after exorcisms, just waiting to get in if you don't keep that guard up.
When it comes to something like that, because there's obviously a lot of evil in this world, people that you could consider evil. I mean, just look at the headlines of what people are capable of. How often, you know, is it out there when you're encountering something that's negative that it is truly something evil? And when I say evil, I'm saying like demonic, something that didn't walk the earth, versus someone who did walk the earth, was an absolute deplorable human being in their lifetime and still continues to be like that in death.
Yeah, I mean, that's very few in between. I personally have not come across something demonic, and I've been doing paranormal investigations for 10 years. Negative energy, yeah. You find out, you know, the person may be doing drugs or just not living their fullest life. I truly believe that it also has to do with your protection and your belief system, and you have to like truly believe in it. Crosses, metals, oils, crystals, none of them, they don't work unless you truly believe in it. And so far my faith has kept me like that I have not come in contact with something that far or that evil. I'm also an ordained minister also. I try not to go there. I know it's there. I try to live my life the best way I can. It's interesting. It's an interesting topic. And I think that it's always going to be there, you know, because I think we're not supposed to have all the answers either.
Sure. When you were stating earlier about the, you know, creating your own negative energy and entities, are you saying that you believe that we are literally creating some other type of conscious form that is negative that will be there to torment us or torment others or just, you know, be a hindrance, if you will? Maybe not necessarily like...
you know what? And because... like when we do the private homes, people, because I do house blessings and house cleansings, there's like over 50 questions I ask because I want to know what I'm walking into. Yeah. If they're doing some type of, I hate to use the word Ouija board because as long as you know how to open and close it, it's not bad. But if it gets in the wrong hands, people are just calling in anything and everything that there is. You know, they don't know if there was a murderer, someone down the street who lived down the street that's buried in the cemetery, or, you know, like who they're calling in or what happened in that house. And some people summons, I don't like some demonic names or demonic, I guess, animals. I don't know what to call it, that, you know, they could just bring it in. They're just doing black magic. It's all in the intention also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
find out there's no such thing as white magic or black magic. It's all in your intent and the intention. You could use fire to warm your house and cook with, but you can also use it to burn your house down.
So there's
a lot that goes on.
Would these be things where we were talking about creating an entity? Are you really creating it, or are you more so inviting something that's already out there lurking around in?
More like inviting.
Okay.
You know, you're creating, and that's part of the intention. I'm sorry. And then they're more like inviting it in, or you know, there's so many beings and things, elementals and all kinds of things that we don't even know that's out there that they could, you know, be creating and calling in. I guess it depends, but they're manifesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, when someone that's living, let's say there, it's a very negative life. The individuals are in a house and they're someone's insanely abusive, just flat out mean, evil, very sad person that is just impossible to live with and is a danger. And let's say that family leaves, or that person leaves that house, but all of that negative energy has been brewing for so long and they finally leave. Can that energy that was brewing in that house turn into something of its own or attract something else to the house long after that person has moved out, but they're still alive? Because this is an interesting thing I go to, where it's like, does it always require that negative person to be dead for that house then to be haunted? Or can that person like literally live across town, but the imprint that they made is living on and kind of has its own half-life, if you will?
Yes, I'll give you an example of that. That's perfect that you said that. I had a client that I did a reading on. Okay. It was a psychic mediumship reading. And before usually the client gets to me, I start, you know, just meditating and see what I'm getting and what's tapping in. And I saw her, I saw her get thrown out of a car. I saw her, I was tasting blood. She was bleeding. She was all bruised. And I felt this presence of this man, like coming with her. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, I thought that, you know, he was dead. And when she got to my office, she said, no, he was an abusive boyfriend, but I can't get rid of, you know, she still feels like she's attached to him. She can't get rid of him. And he's well enough. He's alive.
Yeah. So what is that? What is that then that's still lurking? If he's alive somewhere else and he's nothing to do with her anymore, what is that that's lurking and still, you know, tormenting that individual?
Something that she can't let go of. Something that she's dealing with herself that she just can't let go, and she can't get rid of. I don't know. She could have possibly be afraid of this person. Possibly, even though he did all of that stuff anyway, it was horrible. Was there part of that still loves him for some weird reason?
Is that an outside entity though, or is that just kind of a mental complex that abuse victims commonly get with abuse? Or is that something else that's continuing to influence that?
Good. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that, because we're all made up of energy and vibration, you can just feel you can just feel that person's energy, whether they're dead or alive. I also assisted. I'm also a Reiki master and end of life death doula. I help people and hospice, and I'm a certified hypnotist. I had this one family who asked me to come. Her mother was dying on hospice, and they could, you know, it's just a matter of time, any day now. So I went down there and I, you know, did some Reiki on her and stuff, like just to help her cross over, because the spirit will leave from the head, just to have her an easy crossing. And she was all, and the family was already open to it. Me being a psychic medium, and her mother was saying her wedding ring had fallen off, and she was telling me, she was telling me spiritually from heaven already, or wherever you believe she is, that I said to the family, your mother's asking where her ring is. And her son said, oh, it fell off her finger today. I took it and it's on the table. I said, well, she wants you to put it back on. And she was telling, and here her body is still with us on this earth. And she was also telling me how she likes her hair. And she told me that, can you please tell my family to turn on some Elvis Presley music? So I did that. And that's her favorite music. So I don't know. With that, to me, that was pretty fascinating, mm-hmm. you know, that spirit could do that. And then she ended up like living on, like, body wise, she was like 2 more weeks later. She her body kept going, but her spirit was already in heaven. So it has to do with the vibration and energy. That's unexplained. We can't explain it. We just know it's there and we feel it and sense it, when, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be frustrating for some in those sort of states where you don't always have yeah. someone that you can communicate with that can relay these messages to the family. I suppose right. if you're in that moment, you'd love to have that. But I would imagine yes. most of these calls or instructions go unanswered.
Yes. And because the family don't believe it. And I wouldn't press that on it. She was actually the woman that was dying. Her daughter had a reading from me before and she knew I was open to it. So, and I never met her mother or anything like that before. So, and some family members, you just, you know, some people, I'm sorry, not family, people, they just don't believe in that stuff, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's all in your beliefs and your belief system and what you believe and what you don't believe in. And I don't push that on anybody, you know, sure. I just, you know, whatever they need me to be there to do for them. That's what I do.
If there's a spirit that has a message for the living, but the individual who needs to receive it does not believe in this as being something that is possible, can you still deliver a message to that person? Will a message still be given for that person? Or does kind of the full circle need to be all in the same belief system for that message to be given?
If they absolutely say no, I don't believe in that, and I don't want to hear that, I won't give them the message.
Sure, but you will still receive the message, is what I'm asking.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I still will receive the message, and I will just sit on it and thank Spirit for giving me that message. And, you know, or here's another thing I found out. If the family don't believe, you know, they're skeptic, they don't believe, because I'll have them come for a reading. And I'm like, well, you know, and they'll be skeptic. And, you know, if they're that skeptical, family members won't come through sometime because they know that they really don't want to hear from them. They're just mocking somebody, or, you know, they just mm-hmm. they'll do that, too. They'll be like, well, I'm not going to come through because that person is not open. You know, you have to be open for the energy to flow and the energy to work.
I would also imagine, just from an outside perspective, wouldn't that be the perfect time to prove to someone that it is real? By delivering something that yeah. there's no way in hell yeah. that you would have any idea about.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if that type of person will start to warm up, and I'll say, listen, if you have to let your walls down for the energy and for spirit to come through. If they just sit down immediately and just be like, you know, test somebody or don't want to know anything, I'll be like, all right, I don't want to see you later. You know, I'll move them down the line, you know, mm-hmm. because if they don't interact and answer yes or no, if any of it makes sense, because I'm an evidential mediumship, so they'll give me, you know, evidence from the other side, you know, that only the client that's sitting there and the person knows. But you know what, spirit has free will too. I'll never know who'll come through and who won't come in, and why they do and why they don't. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the funny thing is, talking about all this stuff, they have never you know, and I believe in every religion. I'm spiritual. So just like we have different cars on this earth, but we're still on the same earth, every religion, every belief system is up there to wherever you think you're going, you mm-hmm. know, which is pretty interesting. And they've never showed me, you know, HE double hockey sticks. They never show me, like, they never come from that way,
yeah.
which is interesting. They always come from a higher place. I do believe when you cross over, I mean, it's your time to cross over. If it's not holistic medicine or modern medicine will help you, they say, oh, it's a miracle you're still here. I believe, well, no, you're really supposed to be here. It's not your mm-hmm. time yet, you know, stuff like that. But when you do cross over, I feel like you do have to answer to somebody or someone, or you see your life flash in front of you. you know, and then that's all we're supposed to know. And then it's our private journey to whatever happens to us for what we did or what we didn't do, mm-hmm. you know, because there's still people that. Go ahead.
Would you say that once one is on the other, I think sometimes there's this assumption that once we're dead and we're on the other side, that suddenly our minds are opened up with this whole cornucopia of knowledge that we didn't have before. Yet I hear so frequently on our programs from people, and when they're having encounters with deceased loved ones, they're almost just as confused, if not more, over there as we are in the living, where it's like, okay, I'm over here now, but what next? Like, I realize I'm dead, but what do I do next?
I feel like they're doing whatever they want to do. And if the spirit wise, they can travel, they can come and go mm-hmm. to earth as they please. No one is not stuck here. There's not the spirits aren't stuck here unless they die tragic or unexpectedly. And they don't know what happened. Then, you know, they tend to stay earthly on the earthly plane here. But if someone tells them to go to the light or wherever they see, they go to the light. And I don't know, a lot of these near death experiences, you know, where they say, oh, they see the light, you know, they went to the light and they came back and they died. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if they really die or cause they're alive now. So cause I would feel if they would really die, they would be dead.
Once you're gone and you go towards that light, is it a two-way door? If you go through the light, can you come back down to earth and go, I'm going to visit for a weekend, you know, rather than I'm out
no,
there.
Once you go to heaven, you can come back and forth.
Oh,
you can come back spirit wise. You can come to heaven to earth. You can come back and forth and visit. Absolutely. It's not once you crossed over and you're in heaven, you have to stay there. You can come back and forth.
Is that by choice or do you think there's something on the other side saying, okay, you're enjoying the nice sauna that we have up here in heaven. And all the amenities, but you know what? Your third cousin, who you didn't even know on Earth because they were born after you, they really need your help right now. You need to go help guide them along. Do you think it's a choice thing when somebody is coming back as kind of a guardian type thing, or someone guiding someone?
Yes.
Or can you go, fuck it, I don't want to miss the midnight buffet. There's a great buffet coming up tonight. I don't even know this kid. He should be making better decisions. I don't want to miss the buffet. Can you be the ass soul, if you will, and be like, I'm good. I did my time. I don't care about that cousin.
Well, yeah, well, you know, we're all connected regardless whether you knew your cousins or not, or whether they're born before you or not. They're all part of your committee. Sure. But yeah, you if you don't want to come and visit, you don't have to come and visit.
Yeah.
You don't, you know. A lot of people go to cemeteries to talk to their loved ones. They're not there. They're not residing in a cement area. Mm-hmm. When you go to sit there, those soul will come and sit with you for a few minutes. You bring their soul there, but then they go back in heaven. I do this guided meditation that, cause I also do past life regressions, but I do this one guided meditation where I take you on this journey. I count you down and, take you on this path and you end up on a boat and all this stuff. And then like you land, you know, you're on land, you get out and I walk you over to a bench and I ask you to under meditation to bring a loved one to come sit with you from the other side. And I'm not what I'm telling you. Where's what? It's work. It's pretty profound. They do have a loved one or a spirit guide or one of their animals that they see that come in. And they that's my new puppy. Sure. And they may not talk to you, but they come in and they'll sit with you spirit wise. Their loved one that is there on that bench during the meditation.
Are cemeteries, because obviously those are places that most of us don't spend a lot of time in life, other than people like us who are interested in these things and find them peaceful and fascinating. I love wandering through cemeteries. Most don't.
Yes.
But
me too.
So I could totally see myself hanging out in a cemetery in death, but probably not for most people. Is that a good place to try and connect with a dead loved one, being at their gravesite where their body resides or where their marker resides, or is there any difference between sitting on your couch at home and wanting to have that connection in that moment versus going to the mausoleum or the cemetery and hanging out at a plot?
Yeah, that's a good question. Paranormal-wise, because, you know, people go to cemeteries and try to get EVPs. I really don't really get anything from cemeteries when I try that. I love walking through them. I find them peaceful, which is people think I'm weird. That's where I go Saturday nights. But I don't find that they're there. You know, you wonder, their spirit is not there, right? So why would you get an EVP there? It's not a place that I'm not saying people don't. I believe in whatever people want to believe in the paranormal. I don't, you know, judge anybody, but they don't really reside there because it's not a home that they grew up in. It's not, a dwelling. It's not, something that's familiar to them, So you wonder why you would get an EVP from there if their soul and their spirit isn't there, just the shell of their body.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better to, and I'm not saying people don't get EVPs. I'm not saying you can't. But if I maybe get one or two, but I don't get, a lot, I think it's better in the comfort of your own home where you can be more relaxed and you can meditate. You know, you don't hear the birds going by, traffic, whatever it is, and try to communicate that way,
Mm-hmm. Much more in a peaceful situation. And if you can find a peaceful cemetery, sure. But I just didn't know if it's almost like Wi-Fi, for example, where it's like you want to be in the signal range to get, communication. If you're out of the range, it's just not as effective.
It can be, but I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Beth O'Brien in part two. What does it feel like for Beth when she delivers a message from the other side? How did Beth become involved with a case that required an exorcism? Can EMF bring in or cause true paranormal activity? And has Beth discovered that her abilities have been passed down to her own children? Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.